What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
Indeed it is. This week on Wire Worry Week, we focus on animal rights and endangered species. So today I chose to look into animal rights, and more specifically the difference between animal rights and animal welfare, and what these different approaches entail on a legal scale, but also for the animals and our interactions with them. So I spoke with Jennifer Dutton. She's a campaign manager for SAFE, which is Save Animals from Exploitation, an animals rights advocacy group. Throughout this conversation, we discuss the different ways we can treat animals, how the legislation influences said interactions, and we point out the potential hypocrisy in the way we treat animals. But first, I asked Jennifer to give me a definition of animal welfare and animal rights.
So animal welfare and animal rights sound similar, but they are quite distinct. Animal welfare is generally caring for an animal in a limited and specified way, but which ultimately suits me as a person and my convenience and my needs. Animal rights, by contrast, is about caring about the life of an animal with that animal at the centre of the equation. So my profit or my convenience isn't part of the concern. So any activity or behaviour where I'm eating an animal, if I'm wearing that animal, if I'm making it do something for my own entertainment or pleasure or enjoyment, generally you could assume that that concern for that animal's rights are not really on the table in those circumstances.
I think that's interesting, because a lot of people that take part in, I'm thinking of horses for some reason, but I'm thinking, you know, horse races, rodeo, horseback riding, all involved using a horse for a human's enjoyment, I suppose. All the people that usually do these activities truly believe that they truly love the animal, the horse, and they don't necessarily think of it as like contravening the horse's right.
Certainly. So I think something that's important to remember, and I know this was true for me personally, so I grew up part of more conventional rural New Zealand, family and farming, summers on the boat fishing, holidays on the dairy farm, all that sort of thing. So I certainly understand what it's like to move in that quite conventional New Zealand space. I used to sincerely hold the belief that I loved the animals, that I would also go on to eat or go on to shoot or go on to wear. And the thing is, I didn't see at the time that my version of the love for the animal, it was actually centred around my experience with the animal. So I loved interacting with the animal, I loved being near it, I loved playing or riding or whatever I was doing, but it was my enjoyment that was informing my love for that animal. Now I see that my love needs to be borne out in a way that the animal feels loved. So that doesn't include me shooting it. I'd never said, hey, I love my pet cat, I chase it through the bush and shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, I would never say, I love my neighbour until I wanted spaghetti or, you know, lasagna. Mm-hmm. So then I sent them to the meatworks, but I do love them. You know, our behaviour needs to be felt as love by the receiver. And that doesn't include kicking them or whipping them or killing them or skinning them or any of those things that might give me pleasure as an activity or pleasure as a taste experience, but they don't feel like a loving behaviour for the recipient.
So in New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, the legal system favours the animal welfare approach.
Entirely. The entire legal framework in New Zealand is underpinned by notions of welfare. So the law is designed to inform people being able to use animals in a specified way, but ultimately for the benefit and profit and enjoyment of people. What's in the animal's best interest barely inform the law.
Can't we say, though, that it sort of is a step towards better rights, but it's not all bad in the way that it's at least this is there?
Certainly. Animal welfare improvement and reform are vital. How we treat animals is a real indicator of where we are on a moral baseline as a society. So constantly looking at our own behaviour, improving things, and reminding ourselves that animals are not dishwashers. Animals are sentient. That funny word sentient means feeling and thinking. So New Zealand actually passed a bill back in 2015 recognising that New Zealand animals are sentient. And that's particularly important because it then underpins or is meant to underpin the law, saying we have a higher responsibility towards animals. They're not just property.
Mm-hmm.
They're property that has thoughts and feelings.
What more would you like to see done?
I'd like to see a move of the premise of the law. Rather than saying how can we maximise making money from animals, I think we need to reframe that conversation to be what is our responsibility to animals. There are so many other ways we can, you know, things we can wear, things we can eat, things I can do in the weekend for my pleasure or entertainment that don't involve fundamental animal cruelty. So I just can't get behind when we're looking at a law that says, yes, but how many days can we keep them in a cage before we just have to admit that it's just too mean?
Mm.
Or how many days before we won't chop their tail off without anaesthetic? Or how many hours can they be with their mother before we rip them apart?
You mentioned New Zealand's recognition of animals as being sentient beings,
yes.
Which brings me to speciesism and anti-speciesism.
Mm.
I'm not too sure our listeners necessarily know what it is, because I don't think it's actually that big in New Zealand in a way. I found that I come from Europe and there's a whole move there of people, anti-speciesists, and I think it's pretty big in America as well, but I haven't really found any information about it in New Zealand. So maybe tell us a little bit about what it means.
Speciesism is a strange word that we don't use in New Zealand vernacular very much, but we all actually fundamentally understand what it means. Speciesism is the assignment of different values or different rights based on what species that being belongs to. Assigning a different value or importance to a human versus to your family dog, purely based on the fact that it's a dog. But also we can look at that further and say how we look at a child. This is how we look at a puppy. This is how we look at a possum. And we treat all three of those different species of animals, humans or animals too, very, very differently. And so speciesism is the notion that we should be challenging why we do that and become aware that we are doing it.
It's not even just humans versus animals, I suppose. It's human versus pets versus all other animals.
Certainly, yes. As humans, we've done a very interesting thing where we've arbitrarily assigned different animals a different category. Animals are either put in the lovable category or in the edible category, mostly. For example, and a good example of animal welfare will be a barbecue that's to raise money for animal welfare.
Mm.
And you buy a sausage made of a dead pig body to raise money to improve lives for dogs.
Yeah, I suppose that it's a bit ironic.
It is ironic. I would never raise money for an environmental charity by having a let's plant weeds and chop down native trees competition. So an animal rights fundraiser would involve selling non-animal products, so veggie sausages, whereas an animal welfare fundraiser often involves buying dead animals to help a different type of animal.
The whole idea for the future would be to sort of stop the hypocrisy and try and sort of like put everyone on the same level.
Well, certainly, and being aware of that hypocrisy and aware of that strange divide in our own behaviour and in our own thinking is the first step, is to wonder why it is okay for me to eat a pig but love a dog but wear a cow. Becoming aware that we're doing it is the first step,
mm-hmm.
and then finding ways to continue with our lives and meeting all our own needs, but not needing to compromise in those areas anymore.
Do you think in a country like New Zealand that is very agricultural and really relies on this, and it's very deep-rooted in traditions and also mm. that's people's wages and like it's a way of life, but it's also, you know, their income and all of that. Do you think that's ever going to be possible?
If we want to, we can change. So the current setup of New Zealand's economy is an entirely person-made situation. New Zealand has put so much investment in terms of land clearing and subsidies into driving our people towards animal farming that now we make a lot of money in animal farming. But if we actually look at what our horticulture and what our viticulture is worth, it uses less land, less water, it employs more people, and in terms of per capita relative exports, it makes more money. But because we don't do it as much, we don't do it as on such a big scale, we make less money for it. So it's quite a short-sighted kind of way of looking at it, saying, but look at the paycheck we get from agriculture. Yes, but if we applied that same land usage, if we applied those same jobs, if we applied those same subsidies into other industries, we could make that money elsewhere. So it's entirely a choice of what we as people, as taxpayers, as voters choose to support. Of course, it will be a long game transition, but New Zealand absolutely can have an incredibly healthy, thriving, diverse economy that isn't so precariously reliant on agriculture.
Now that we've reached the point where we have so many animals that have been farmed, if we were to make that transition, what happens to all of these animals that are here and they've been domesticated? How do we keep them alive, obviously, and keep them there? I suppose if you don't breed anymore for agricultural or farming purposes, maybe that makes a difference. But, you know, what becomes of these animals?
We go out of our way at great expense and effort to deliberately breed millions of animals into existence. So as soon as we move away from and pull the handbrake on doing that, we're not going to have these wild numbers of animals just roaming free. So if we think of all the animals all around the world that are not commercially farmed, the entire rest of the animal kingdom, the majority of it thrives, and yet we don't commercially farm them.
Worry Week on The Wire.